Jackie Wilson, Danny Boy, one of the great singers of all time, born on this day in 1924 and died from a heart attack on stage while singing. But he died with doing what he loved and was one of the men who brought so much joy into so many people's hearts. So we wish him a happy birthday, even though he's no longer on this plane. Someone who is on this plane is in the studio. Aisha Braveboy is a delegate. She represents the 25th District in Prince George's County, and she's running in the Democratic primary to become the candidate for Attorney General of the state of Maryland. Aisha Braveboy, welcome back. Good to have you in the studio.
It's wonderful to be here, Mark.
410-319-8888 is the number here. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages. You can also tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888, as we talk with Aisha Braveboy. So where do we begin? We begin with, there was a poll, I guess, came out of yesterday's paper I found very interesting that showed, once again, Cardin being ahead in this three-person race, but the undecideds, I've never seen undecideds like this in a race. And, I mean, what do you think that means, and what do you think it says about the future of this race and you?
Well, I think it means that I'm going to win. but I also think that what it means is that not enough attention has been paid to the issues that are really affecting everyday people in this race. I think there's been a lot to do about personalities and judgment and things like that. And I think what people really want to hear about is the issues that are important to them, that are impacting them, and how the Attorney General's office can assist and facilitate justice and fairness in their lives. And so I'm hopeful that shows like this will focus on more of the meatier, substantive issues of this campaign.
So let's talk about what you think those are. I mean, I often question candidates about what they would have done had they been in AG for the last 8 years and bring up some issues. But I'm curious, before I do that even, what you think the substantive issues are in this race?
Well, my campaign has focused on, you know, really the bread and butter issues that are impacting Marylanders. For most people, their wealth, their family's wealth, it comes in the form of their home, their investment in their property, and their jobs. And in Maryland, we have a significant issue of foreclosure. We have a really difficult issue that we're grappling now with, which is these banks that are buying back properties at the foreclosure sales and then not doing the bare minimum to maintain those properties. And then when those properties go back on the market, they're sold to investors as opposed to owner-occupiers. And these investors are buying the properties for far less than the market would bear otherwise. And what that does is it artificially erodes the wealth in the communities here in the state, particularly in Baltimore. Let me give you an example. The National Fair Housing Alliance did a study, and it showed that about 70% of the bank-owned properties in Baltimore City were actually had 10 or more marketing deficiencies. And so these are properties that could go for a pretty substantial amount but are going for far less because the banks aren't mowing the lawns, picking up trash, fixing broken windows, those things that any other homeowner would have to do. The banks aren't doing it, and it's an artificial deterioration of the wealth in our communities, and one that I, as the next Attorney General, will hold those banks accountable, file the appropriate fair housing complaints to get the banks to do the right thing.
Well, I was just about to ask you, what could you do as AG?
Absolutely.
What can you do as AG?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is establish a commission to investigate the treatment of lender-owned properties all over the state so that we can get our own data. We know that there's some data out there from different organizations that have done this research, but we need our own data. And then I'm not going to be shy about telling the banks that either they you know, act appropriately in this state, or I will, as necessary, file the appropriate fair housing complaints or lawsuits against them so that they'll do the right thing here for the people of Maryland.
And why do you think that hasn't been done?
I think it hasn't been done because it hasn't been a priority. But I know it's a priority for the people in this state because they're suffering. You know, it used to be that people could borrow against the equity in their homes to pay for college for their children or to start a business. And people in the state just don't have those options now. And it's not because of anything that they have done. It's something that the banks have done. And we have to hold them accountable. We've bailed them out. You remember the whole bank bailout?
Right.
We can't let them fail. But guess what? We allow people to fail. We allow families to fail every day. And that's not good enough for this state.
So there are a lot of issues here that will face an attorney general that have faced the attorney general before. Let me just cover a couple of them that happened in the past and what you might do about them. A was when the highest court in the state of Maryland decided that people have a right to a lawyer at the initial bail hearing.
Absolutely.
The former attorney general, who's now running for governor, the present attorney general, who's now running for governor, fought in court opposing that ruling. And then after that ruling came out, he and the present sitting governor and leaders of the House and Senate both were kind of doing what they could to say, we don't have to abide by this, and we're going to find another way around this, when it went through Valerio's committee. So I'm curious, A, what your thought would have been had you been attorney general when this battle was taking place before the court, and what you will do about it once you become attorney general, if you win the election.
Sure. I think everyone understands that there has to be a presumption of innocence, that individuals are entitled to representation, especially when their liberty is at stake. And at these initial bail hearings, an individual's liberty is at stake. And so, you know, the attorney general is elected independently for a reason. They're not there to do what the governor wants them to do or what the legislature wants them to do. If that were the case, this would be an appointed position and not an elected position accountable to the people of the state. And so as attorney general, you can't always just go along to get along. And I think we find so much of that in government, and it does not work to the best interest of the people of the state. What I would have done is took a common sense approach. I mean, it is, you know, constitutionally, we understand that individuals have a right to counsel. I mean, that's the basic premise of our judicial system, that everyone has a right to counsel. And so, you know, part of the problem is that what we did not do, or what the attorney general did not do, is say, look, I understand that this may be your interest. However, let me counsel you on what is constitutional. And as attorney general, if I were the attorney general then, I would have suggested and I would have strongly advised the governor and the General Assembly to actually address the issues raised by the plaintiffs in the DeWolf case and say, look, they absolutely have a point here. We can't allow individuals to go before a commissioner to potentially be confined in, you know, and incarcerated for any period of time without having a fair opportunity to be heard before the court with effective counsel. And so I would not have recommended that the state take the position of defending itself against this action. I think we should have really relooked at how we handle defendants in our justice system. You know, if you look at D.C., D.C. has 24-hour courts. There's a judge available at all times. You know, other states have implemented similar opportunities because they understand that people get arrested every day. And so every day they should have an opportunity to get a swift and fair hearing before either a judge or commissioner. We haven't provided that in the state. That's a mistake. And as attorney general, I will really push for a 24-hour court system so that our judges can be available to the citizens of this state around the clock.
Folks, join us here at 410-319-8888. We're here with Delegate Ayesha Brayboard, running to become the next Attorney General of the state of Maryland, the second most important elected office in the state of Maryland.
I would say it's the most important, and
here's
why. And let me tell you why.
More important than the governor?
Well, yes, in many respects.
Go ahead,
because
tell me
why. If you think about it, the Attorney General protects and defends the Constitution of the United States and of the state of Maryland. You know, the Attorney General's office really is that office that facilitates justice for the people of the state of Maryland. So if someone is aggrieved, if someone believes they're being treated unfairly by either business or government, they have a place to come to, and that's the Office of the Attorney General. And I don't think we talk about this office enough. We don't talk about the importance that this office can play in the lives of everyday citizens. It is an extremely important office. It's the office that advises all branches of government. And when you look at it, you know, let's say the governor, yes, sets up a commission. I'm going to talk about redistricting for a little bit. The governor sets up a redistricting commission.
Right.
And that commission goes around and, you know, but the attorney general's office advises that commission on the constitutionality of the decisions that they are making. And so the attorney general really does play a significant role in all aspects of government.
So let me just
you
raise a lot of issues here. So it raises some questions in my mind. I want to throw them out.
Absolutely.
So let's just take what you just said. So what would you have done differently as attorney general in the last redistricting process? Because if you are elected, you will have to be reelected for the next one. But
yes,
but
intend to be.
So what would you have done differently? How would you have participated in that process? And what would you have done around that? Because there's been so many issues around the politicization and the gerrymandering of districts in the state. So what would you
Absolutely.
Have done?
Well, one thing, you know, so the governor's commission went all over the state with 10-year-old maps, asking people to comment and give their opinions on 10-year-old maps. That was really disingenuous because everyone, including those who came to those hearings in the public, knew that there were maps being proposed by the administration that were not made available to the public until very late in the process. So the first thing I would have done is say, look, we need to have a clear, transparent redistricting process. We need to ensure that the maps that the governor's commission is actually going to present to the legislature are presented to the public in a timely fashion so that they have an opportunity to weigh in. In addition to that, I would have advised the governor that the maps that he proposed really had the effect of reducing the strength of minority voters in the state. And in addition to that, the map, and you know the infamous, I believe it's the District 3
right.
blood splatter district, you know, that districts like that really break up communities of interest, and it really has the effect of...
You're talking about the 3rd Congressional District?
Yes,
right, right,
yes,
right.
The one that extends from, like, Baltimore County all the way over
Howard
to
County and
Howard and then up into Montgomery County. I mean, they really stretched out that district. It also runs through Anne Arundel County. And so, and it's probably one of, if not the most gerrymandered district in the entire country. And I don't think that's something that Maryland should be proud of.
So what would you have done in the HBCU case that came before the courts in Maryland? And again, the AG's office representing the state of Maryland fought for the University of Maryland system against the HBCUs in Maryland. How would you have done that differently?
Well, I would not have defended the state's position in that.
How could you not have as AG, though?
Well, the attorney general, again, is elected independently for a reason. And you can see this, you know, around the country, there are attorney generals, like just the attorney general in Virginia just, you know, recently after elected said, hey, I'm not going to defend, you know, Virginia's ban on a gay marriage. And there are other examples of attorney generals who have not supported either a policy or laws that have been pursued by their states. And it's because the attorney general is an independent body or individual who's independent and their agency is an independent body that they have the ability to do that. And so in this instance, I would have counseled the governor that the state of Maryland is going to lose this lawsuit, which it did, that the state of Maryland has unfairly treated historically black colleges and universities. There are numerous historical documents that the state commissioned that showed that it duplicated programs, that it underfunded HBCUs. So none of this was not you know, available to the state at the time that it was going through the court process. The state just took the position that it wanted to be defiant, that it wanted to just disregard precedents, and that was in the Fordyce case, wanted to disregard the decision of Brown versus Board of Education, wanted to disregard the Office of Civil Rights MOU that the state had with the Justice Department, and just be defiant and very just decide that they're not interested in really addressing the issues. They just want to defend their position. That was wrong, because the state is here to facilitate justice for everyone in our state. And when we know we've done things wrong in our past, we have the opportunity to make a difference. We should always choose to make a difference and not to defend something that we knew was racist, that we knew was discriminatory, and that we knew was the wrong thing in the state of Maryland.
Folks, listen to Aisha Braveboy. She's a delegate from Prince George's County, 25th District. Been in the House for how many years now?
8 years.
That's what I thought. I thought it was eight. And we want to hear your thoughts and comments. I mean, you hear what she has to say. We want you to kind of weigh in on what you're hearing that she's saying, your thoughts on who you might vote for or not, and what questions you may have for her at 410-319-8888. You can write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Please join the conversation. You can also join us tonight. I'll be moderating the Attorney General's candidates debate. Not moderating. I'll be part of the debate tonight. That I'll be over at the Andrews Law Center Moot Court, 1401 North Charles Street, from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. tonight. And the dean of that law school, Ronald Welch, will be serving as moderator. So join us there. But back to our conversation right here.
Yes.
I think that it's a shame that also so many people have not taken are not paying attention to this race the way they should. Probably, I think part of it has to do with this primary date being June 24th as opposed to September. People just are not used to June 24th as a date, and I think that's a real travesty to even have this date. But that's another issue. So let me talk some of the other issues that also the AG has to deal with, and there are issues around the environment. And I haven't heard you talk much about that in your campaigns.
Well, actually, I have.
Okay,
I've talked about environmental justice. There are parts of this state that if you live in those areas, you are more likely to have cancer. You're more likely to have other diseases and illnesses, and that could. And we believe that's potentially caused by, landfills, rubble fields, and other facilities that are disproportionately many times located in low-income and or minority communities in our state. And so the issue of environmental justice, which really doesn't get addressed. I mean, we all talk about, the importance of saving the Chesapeake Bay, and I support that, and I certainly will, do everything I can to prosecute polluters, those who are doing illegal dumping. I think that is these are very extremely important issues that the Attorney General's office must continue to be a leader on. And I applaud our current Attorney General, Doug Gansler, for taking a really tough stance against polluters in our state. And I will similarly act in the same manner. But the other part that doesn't get addressed many times is that this issue of environmental justice. And so what we have to do is pay a lot more attention to where these types of facilities that bring toxins into our community are located, ensure that we have the appropriate and proper mitigation against potential risks and dangers to the public. That is something that my office will absolutely, unequivocally be focused on. And again, even in Baltimore City, we're still dealing with the issue of lead paint and the lead paint poisoning that occurs still here in our state and certainly in our city, which is disproportionately impacted by this issue. So environmental justice is something that we just have not talked about enough, just in general, on this campaign trail. It hasn't really come up, except I've talked about it, and I talked about it at the first debate, and I'll continue to raise it as an issue and one that when I become the Attorney General, I will address.
So we have some thoughts in here, and there's a tweet, I haven't seen it yet, and coming through email, I'll get here in a second. We do have one comment. Somebody's coming and chatting in. She is good. She's been so shut out of most of the media coverage of this race. And then someone else saying Dutch Rupersberger just endorsed Cardin. What do you think?
Well, I mean, good for Cardin.
And let me see. Somebody just wrote in, just do it is their tag. Is that right? Independent, intelligent lawyer for the people. Someone just texted.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
So you can also join us live here, 410-319-8888, but I'll continue to read your tweets and your chats, 410-319-8888. Nobody's talking about it, but just tweets.
It's the new form of communication.
It really is. Yeah. I don't talk to my children. They just tweet and message me all the time, text me all the time. So, you know, we did talk, you brought the environment up, and I'm curious about that as well, because it was this lawsuit that took place from the University of Maryland Law Clinic and
yes.
others. To some people saw it as an anti-pharma thing, but many people looked at it really as trying to make Purdue and companies actually own the chickens and create the manure to pay their fair share. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, first of all, let me just say I really want to applaud the University of Maryland School of Law. I mean, as a lawyer, I went to Howard University, but the University
great
of Maryland,
school.
Well, thank you, greatest civil rights institution in the country.
Amen to that. All right. That's an argument there.
But so says Thurgood Marshall, right? But the University of Maryland has really taken a leadership on many civil rights and justice issues, and certainly has taken on environmental issues. So I really want to applaud the law school. And, you know, everyone in this state has to do the right thing. And I think all the university really wanted, those students, they really wanted is to ensure that the runoff, which we know impacts the bay, that everyone is paying their fair share to clean up the bay and to mitigate against environmental issues that cause, you know, problems for our water streams, for our air quality. And so I support their efforts. You know, and so, you know, as Attorney General, I think one of the biggest roles that the Attorney General can play when we have issues that come up like this is one of facilitator, you know, negotiating, mediating, ensuring that all sides and all stakeholders come to the table and that we come up with a solution that's in the best interest of our state, recognizing that there is a business interest. And certainly we want to ensure that our businesses are strong and are doing well, but we can't allow them to ruin our future. And I think that's what this lawsuit was about. And that's why the students were fighting so hard. And I support that effort and certainly would like to be able to facilitate a fair resolution.
Well, Delegate Aisha Brayboy, it's been a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate also the forthrightness of your answers and the clarity you brought to the questions that we have not heard a lot. So I appreciate that.
Oh, well,
as well.
I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for all that. And we'll see you tonight.
I'll see you this evening. I look forward to it.
At the University of Baltimore School of Law for a Maryland Democratic Attorney General Candidates Debate, which I'll be co-hosting. It will be at the Angelos Law Center Moot Court, 1401 North Charles Street from 7:30 to 9:30. University of Baltimore School of Law Dean Ronald Welch will be moderating. The event's open to the public, so please show up there at 7:30 or call for more information at 410-837-4142. And we will be taping that for later broadcast before the election. And we will be re-airing, maybe if we can, some of these, the AG interviews we've been doing, so you can get a real sense of what to do before Election Day and hear the differences between these three candidates in this Democratic primary. And once again, thank you, Aisha, for being here.
Thank you very
Aisha
much. See
Brayboy.
You tonight.
Good to have you. Yes, you will.
All right.
And reminding you on the way out of here, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ Baltimore's Credit Union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ Baltimore's Credit Union is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com. And our Steiner Show is also brought to you by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to Common Core, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's one word, MarylandEducators.org. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stefano Avronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our interns are Alex Boston, Taylor Littlejohn, and Sienna Greaves, who started today. She's phenomenal. And welcome, Sienna Greaves, to the Mark Steiner Show. To hear the show again, podcast our past shows, find information about our guests and the work they do, and our day in history. You can go to steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download our podcast on iTunes. We have the Mark Steiner Show app. It's free. Just get it. And for Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, that's Jackie Wilson. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.